I like that response thing. Preacher always gets after me about it, but I don't know. I guess it's born in me. I guess I've learned to like to talk to people. I have. I wasn't like that always. I don't know if you can imagine me any other way than the way I am. But I used to be the kind that would rather be off by myself and not talking to anybody, and hated getting up in front of people talking, and God does miracles, amen? If you take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Boy, where did summer go? Disappeared. Heat-wise, it's still around, but... And yes, this is still hot to a Yankee like me. Yeah, thank you. But boy, it went so fast. But I am thankful for Preacher for letting me have this opportunity to preach tonight. I have such a burden for our generations of today. And, of course, myself being included in that group. We're not ready for Christ to come back. We're just not. We're not to that point where we're ready for Him to just show up right now. Can imagine the tears that would come from me, from all the things that I haven't fixed yet in my life, if He were to show up right now. And things like the Revelation Conference. I had heard all that before. I took it. Brother Sharp taught that class in college, but it was just as good to hear it again. Because my brain forgot it all already. I had it written down, but who knows where those notes are. But we're not ready. Revelation Conference and then preacher's messages in the last month or so. Message last week about Job. It just ought to stir you to want to be ready for the second coming of Christ. This year in our school, I decided that I wanted to give our kids a reason why they should be Baptists. Not just a Christian school, but why they're Baptists. So we've been studying a bit about Baptist history. And every time and this may sound a little strange to you, but for a treat, I read them a portion out of Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know if you've ever read that book. But if that doesn't stir you, you're dead. The way those people responded and the testimonies of those early church saints puts you in tears. How they stood for Christ. And it makes you feel like a worthless piece of dirt of how you live your Christian life. So I don't know if I could do that. I'd like to think I would, but wait, let me think that again. I don't think I could. But we ought to be able to. We've got the same tools they have. We have a better tool. We've got the whole canon of Scripture. Amen. Most of them didn't have that. We've got the same Holy Spirit they had. Amen. We've got the same God they had. Amen. We've got the same Jesus Christ that they had. Amen. So what's wrong with us? And that thought's been stirring up inside of me. And then I realize that habits are a curse. Boy, character's hard to change. I'm still forgetful. I don't always prioritize the right way. I fall short, fall on my face a lot of times. But do I get discouraged? Do I quit? I have a feeling that our brother, Thon Nye, isn't going to quit. I've known him for just about a year, and I think I've gotten that from him already. just the kind of guy he is. But all these things that have happened in the last days made me think of this thought. And I'd like you to, did I tell you to turn to 1 Thessalonians already? Chapter 5, if you'd stand. We're going to read a little bit, because I don't know very much, and if I didn't have a Bible, I wouldn't know anything. Verse 1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Amen. In everything give thanks. Amen. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Amen. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19 tells us, quench not the Spirit. I want to speak just a little while tonight about having power in perilous days. Having power in perilous days. What's your power level, Christian? Are you going to have any effect out there in the world? Do you have any power? Preacher reminded us of a statement that I'd heard before. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. What I'm talking about is power of the Holy Spirit. Because without that power, we have nothing. We have no voice. We have no witness. We need His power. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Lord, I do feel so unworthy to be in this place, but you've put me here. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our brother Thon Nye. Lord, he's a near and dear friend to a lot of us here. Lord, I pray that you'd help him. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our preacher as he's probably speaking this very minute. Lord, I pray that you'd bless these folks that came tonight. That you'd help us as Christians to see that we need you more than ever before. Lord, I pray that you'd bless, guide my tongue, guide my words and my thoughts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. May be seated. Power in perilous days. I couldn't help but think of the Andrews and the Polycarps and the unnamed heroes of the faith as I read through Fox's Book of Martyrs. We read a story today about a little boy being called from the crowd and gives a testimony of Christ with his mother present, and the person in authority asked the little boy where he heard such absurd things. And he said, "My mother taught them to me." And that ruler began to take that boy and beat him and scourge him and do terrible things to this little boy. And the mother, instead of screaming in agony and tears and wailing, stood solemn face, not a tear come out of her eyes, cheering on her son to be strong in the faith, to stand strong, to not cry out, to be strong for the Lord. As I sat and read that, or stood and read that, I just couldn't believe it. I'm a father. I've got kids. I'd probably be over there crying, okay, if it were my child. What boldness. What testimony. What power they had. Yet we can have the same. The first thing we need to have power in perilous days is you've got to, first of all, have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. If you're not saved, there's no chance that you'll have any power at all. Amen. You've got to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. And when we're saved, just like that, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives and dwells in you. Amen. He quickens us. He seals us. And He gives us the power we need to be God's children. Amen. Take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it tells us about this Holy Spirit. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. And if you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. It goes hand in hand. You've got to have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And the only way you can do that is by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I was taught in Bible college that many preachers of yesteryear believed that over half of their congregations were unsaved. Saved, baptized, supposedly members of their church. And how true is that today? Is it any different today? Is it better or worse? People say about maybe about Peter. "Oh, I wouldn't have denied Christ." Are you a better Christian than Peter was? I know I probably not. I didn't know Peter personally, but from what I've read in the Bible, like he said about Jesus and couldn't buckle his shoe latchet, I couldn't buckle Peter's shoe latchet. But we've got to have the Holy Spirit. We need to be saved. And there are people here, probably tonight even, that have deceived themselves. Saying, "Oh, I remember somebody telling me that I went forward a long time ago. And that's good enough. It would be too much of an embarrassment now to go ahead and admit that I'm really not saved." I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation, but you know if you're saved or not, deep down inside. If it's just a game, a facade, tell you what, if that were me, I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. I wouldn't care what anybody thought. Going to hell is a bigger price to pay than being embarrassed. Amen. And if you really think that we would be looking down upon you if you had to come forward and get right with God and get saved, you don't know your church family. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that, but you better believe you know you're going to heaven. That's the first thing. You've got to know you have the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You say, well, Brother Combs, I go out soul winning and I witness to people, but nobody ever gets saved. Well, first of all, do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you saved yourself? You could probably... I've witnessed to people that read the Bible more times than I had ever even opened it. Cover to cover. But yet they refused to get saved. And I couldn't understand that. Just because you've read the Bible, they could have showed me the plan of salvation more clearly than I showed it to them, yet they refused to get saved. And I couldn't fathom that. But it's happened to me. So it doesn't matter what you know. It matters that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I love that word shall. It's not maybe, it's you will get it. But you have to have the Holy Spirit. If you've got some kind of electronic device and it requires batteries or electricity, if there's no electricity, it ain't working. It's not going to work if you don't have the power. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. If you're wondering why you don't have power in perilous days, you better first check up and make sure that you have the Holy Spirit. That ought to be number one on the agenda. Check up on that salvation experience that you say you've had. And very well may be that it is valid. But you'll fall down in some of the other categories tonight then. But make sure that you're saved. Secondly, we need to heed the Holy Spirit. We've got to listen. We have got to listen. I am the type of individual that my brain thinks of 500 things at the same time. Okay? So if you don't have my attention and you're telling me something, chances are I will not remember it. Because I'm really not listening. Okay? Just ask my wife. I get blamed for that all the time. I might be looking at her, but I'm focusing on something else and I did not hear a word she said. But compare that to you and the Holy Ghost. Is your life so busy, so clogged up with everything else that you don't hear Him? And that you really don't want to listen to Him anyways. So you don't listen. And you cannot heed what He's telling us to do. First of all, we must heed His teachings. Do you know that the Holy Spirit teaches us? Amen. Brother Doug and I got to go out soul winning several months ago. And that was a blessing for me. But you know what? We were on a mission. Searching for someone. And we just walked past a family with little kids. And handed the man a tract. The older man was Spanish. But as soon as we took, two steps, Brother Doug? He whispered over to me, we should have witnessed those kids. And I knew it. I agreed with him. And we kept on going to our door. That was the Holy Spirit trying to teach us something. He's trying to talk to us. But we were on a mission. But I'm glad Brother Doug was spiritual enough to recognize it. And God gave us another opportunity to talk to those kids. The one little boy got saved. Amen. But we had to listen. He had something to teach us. Something to show us. And in John chapter 14, we see this truth. John 14, verse 26, tells us, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Praise God for that. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Have you ever heard that still small voice? When you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off. And you get in the flesh about it. You hear that little voice that says, hey, don't you remember what I taught you from the Word of God about that kind of a spirit? Do you even hear that anymore? Or when you're just sitting on your couch staring at the wall watching the paint dry. And all these thoughts just start to flood into your mind that shouldn't be there. And you hear this still small voice speaking to you. Say, shouldn't be thinking about that. Remember what the Word of God says here? He's trying to teach us to bring these into remembrance. He wants us to know the truth. Going back to the person I told you about that had read the Bible and could probably tell about the plan of salvation better than I could, yet would not get saved, he didn't have the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of the Word of God to him. To interpret it for him, to make him understand it. Because he refused to listen. And you know what? We have got to listen to his teachings. He shall teach you all things. And shall bring them into remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How many times have you heard preaching from this pulpit? Truths that should change your life forever, but you forget about it. You get busy doing something else. And when that application that you said you were going to apply to your life actually comes to a point where you could have applied it, the Holy Spirit says, hey, remember that sermon that was preached and taught? We have to heed it. We have to listen to it. We have to obey. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It says, but the anointing which ye have received of him that abideth in you, and ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. What he's saying is, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, he's going to show you what's right and what's not. He's going to teach you and guide you if you abide in him. We must heed his teachings. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We are finite, he is infinite. That's just the truth. And the things of God truly are deep. Why did Brother Thon, with a calling on his life to preach, get hurt like the way he did? Seemingly, in man's eyes, ending his chance for ministry. Right? Why? The deep things of God. It's not on our level, folks. It's out there. We'll never really understand it. But the Holy Spirit searches all things. Amen. He helps us. He teaches us. He also has commands. We need to heed his commands. Back to John 14. The Bible tells us in verses 15 through 21 something very important. Jesus speaking here. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And, thought's not over yet, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments. Here they are. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Wonder why you don't have any power? Are you keeping his commandments? Are you doing right? Or are you living in sin? Or are you ignoring biblical principles that you've been taught and showed from the Word of God? Tithing? Faithful? Soul winning? Pet sins? What's in your life? Are you keeping his commandments? Jesus said we can't love two masters. You're either going to love the one or hate the other. That's how it is. And Jesus said the only way we can love him is if we keep his commandments. So if you're not keeping his commandments, then what are you doing to Jesus? Well, in theory and in truth, you hate him. It's that simple. Isn't that what the Word of God says? We can't have it both ways, folks. We can't straddle the fence. It's got to be one or the other. If you're not keeping his principles, his commandments, then you don't love him. My freshman year in college, in a soul-winning course, my instructor asked the class, "Do you believe such and such?" And we all, as good Baptists, say, "Oh yeah, I believe that. Are you practicing this? Are you practicing this?" And we all say, "No, no, no." Then you really don't believe it, is what his point was. If you're not putting it into action, if you're not practicing it, if you're not doing it, you really don't believe it. Because if you really did, you would do it. And if you really loved him, you'd keep his commandments. And the fact that we don't shows that we don't love him. But I'm sure glad that we love him because he Amen. First loved us. Amen. What's the problem if we don't heed his teachings? What's the problem if we don't heed his commandments? Well, the problem is, we quench the Spirit. That's what happens. He doesn't ever leave you, Christian. He doesn't disappear, but he kind of burrows down inside. And that voice gets quieter and quieter, 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 quieter. You quench him. Ephesians chapter 4. Tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." What happens if you don't heed his teachings? What happens if you don't heed his commands? You quench him, but you also grieve him. You know what it means to grieve somebody? Some of you may have had a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or someone close to you that's passed away. You remember what that felt like? Now, I can't speak from experience there. But one day I probably will. the Lord tarries his coming. How did you feel? Well, the word for it is that you were grieved. And that's what we can do to the Holy Spirit of God, who lives inside of you. What? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. He lives there. A perfect being. One of the Godhead. You force him to live in a sinful body. You force him to live in that willful sin. That grieves him. He's grieved. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. But that's why we don't have any power. No power in the perilous days of today, of the years to come. That's why. So what does power bring in our lives? We know how to get it. Keep his commandments. Heed his teachings. Live a sanctified life. That means to be set apart for a particular service. We're all called at least to be soul winners. Amen. That's a Christian's duty. Amen. Not all are called to preach. Not all are called to teach. Not all are called to be missionaries or pastors or evangelists. But all are called to go soul winning. Amen. That's our call. That's what God has designed for us to do. And He wants us to have the power to do it. Amen. He wants you to be an effective tool. He wants you to be sharp and ready and full of power to get the job done. Amen. And you can have it if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Classic example is a glass of water. If that glass has half of it full of oil, and you try to pour water in it, can you ever fill that glass all the way full with water? No. You can fill it to the top, and the top will be water, and the bottom will be oil. Other way around. And I'm a teacher, amen. Oil floats on water. But it'll never be full until you get all of the oil out. If you get all of the oil out, then it's possible for that glass to be filled with water. You have to get all of the world out to be completely filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we as human beings probably never attain that. But it could be a goal of yours. Because the more of the world you get out, the more of the Holy Spirit can come in. Amen. And that power meter on you, yourself will rise and rise. And boy, what God could do with you. Don't you want to do something for God? Amen. I tend to be a bundle of electricity, happiness and whistling. And the secretaries try to quench me because they say that Brother Todd, that's his signature, and if I do that, then they think I'm Brother Todd, and then they get disappointed when they see me. But I still whistle anyways. Acts chapter 2. Disciples of Jesus. We're waiting for something special. To do the work that their Lord had instructed them to do. And when they got it, when they were filled with that Holy Ghost and received that power, from Acts chapter 2 to the end, look what they did. Look what they did. Amazing. Don't you love to have 3,000 saved and baptized and added to the church all in one Sunday? Amen? Oh, Brother Combs, that can't happen today. Why not? Amen. Why? Were the apostles that special? No, they themselves were not. But their God was. Amen. The Holy Spirit that they had was. And we have access to that same power that the apostles had. Look at your Old Testament judges. When the Holy Spirit came upon those men, they were able to deliver Israel from their enemies. The Gideons, the Samsons. Look at what they did with the power of the Holy Ghost. And when that power wasn't there, look at their lives. Nothing. They were nobodies without the power of God. Just like me. Just like you. Human beings that were willing to be used by God. These four things that the power of the Holy Spirit will bring you as a Christian. First, boldness. Boldness. Amen. We ought to obey God rather than man. Is that on your agenda for the day? Are you willing to be a Polycarp? Gets tied to a stake. Actually, he didn't want to be tied. He just wanted to stand there. Burned alive. Be like some of these that were sawn asunder or crucified. Or like Andrew, who, when he saw the cross he was to be crucified, said, "Oh, precious cross, how I have longed for thee." He was excited. "Yay, I'm getting crucified today. Praise the Lord." Yeah. Is that your response? No way. But he had boldness. And they preached no matter what. Stoned. Threatened for prison. Threatened to be beheaded. All these things that they did. Because they were full of the Holy Ghost. And they had power. And they had something to preach. And they had boldness. Where are the bold Christians today that are willing to stand up and say, "No! This is wrong! This is sin! This is the right way." That's boldness. Or do you say, "Well, it's their life. They can do what they want with it. I'll just sit over here in my comfort zone and go on about my business as a Christian." That is your business as a Christian. It matters. Have some boldness. Power of the Holy Spirit will also give you guidance. Don't know where to go sometimes? You can have guidance from the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We can have guidance. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You can have His guidance. What better way to live life than being guided by the Holy Spirit of God? When you're walking down the street, got a time crunch, got to be somewhere, and you walk past this person, walks past you, and the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, give him a track." Are you willing to be led and guided by the Holy Ghost? "I don't have time to do that." There's one soul that just drops off into eternity because you weren't willing to be led. You didn't have the power. You weren't willing to listen. You can have guidance. Next thing that the power of the Holy Ghost gives you is truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Amen. John chapter 15. Verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, Amen. And the life." Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost gives you truth. Amen. Don't you love it when you can go to a dictionary and look up a word and write it down knowing that it's going to be right? Isn't that a comfort? Well, Christian, isn't it a comfort to know you can go to your Bible and not find a single error in it? Amen. That it's true? It's God's Word? And it's for you. Amen. What a comfort. What a blessing. Truth. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us truth. One last thing that it gives us and helps us with is the power of the Holy Spirit gives us a witness. It gives us a reason to witness. And it gives us that witness. Of course, we know this verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Amen. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life, you can't do anything but witness. When that power meter in your life grows and rises, you just want to tell somebody. Because you realize the truth. You got the boldness. And you've got guidance. You just have to witness. There's no other thing to do. It just kind of comes out of you. You put all the things that don't matter to the side and give out the truth of the Word of God to people. You know what happens then? Revival. Amen. You know what happens then? We see this world flipped upside down for God. Amen. You know what happens then? God gets a big old smile on His face. Amen. And we get to be on the tip of His tongue. Because we're faithful. Because we're witnesses. Because we're longing for the filling of His power more than anything else. When I'm really hungry, which is all the time, I don't want anything else. I don't want water. When I go to a buffet, I don't want salad. I don't want vegetables. I don't want mashed potatoes. I want meat. Don't waste my time with the rest of that junk. When you've got a taste of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't want anything else. Everything else the world has to offer is junk. It's not worth eating. It's not worth messing with. Yes, jobs are important. Families are important. Yes, yes, yes. But what's got first place? What's in that viewpoint of your eye? Do you want to have power in perilous days? These are perilous days. I don't know if you knew it, but they are. I just found out a terrible thing that my mother told me the other day. She goes, "You still like Fords?" I said, "Yeah." I'll probably go down to my grave with it. I said, she goes, "You still buy another Ford?" I said, "I probably would." She goes, "Do you know that they're a major supporter of homosexuals?" Said, "No, I didn't know that. Well, maybe I won't buy Fords anymore." But that doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. What matters is that I ought to be out working towards seeing people saved. Because the end times are coming. Power and perilous days. These are perilous days. That crowd is out there. The homosexual crowd. And they're getting their way. And pretty soon it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Just like the Bible says. And Christ will be back. We're close, folks. Can almost smell it. Was it a cloudy day today? Like Brother Sharp said. He's coming back. And we need to have power. And the only way you're going to get it is through the Holy Spirit. You've got to have Him be an integral part of your life. You can push Him in a corner. You can grieve Him. Do what you want to do. No power. No power. Dear Father, we love you. Lord, my prayer is